morning. Greet you in Christ's holy name again this morning. The one that is the giver of life. The one that allowed you to be here this morning. He allowed you to get up out of bed this morning because you still had breath. Do we thank Him for that? Do we thank Him enough? It's good to see the house filled this morning. I've always said and told my people at home that when I go and prepare a message, I prepare it to my own heart. So I want y'all to realize that this morning, that I'm talking to myself also. I want the Lord to work in my heart also. I appreciated the devotions also this morning and the Sunday school. And so many times, you know, I don't know why I get amazed at how the Spirit works all this together and how it all comes together. I shouldn't be amazed with it. It's the Holy Spirit's work. And this morning, the devotions and the Sunday school lesson is going to go right with my message this morning. Now, the title of my message this morning is Checkmate. And it may be just a little bit different this morning. I'm going to have a picture that we're going to go off of. And I'm sure all of you probably know what checkmate means, especially when you see this picture. Maybe I should cover the clock up. No, I don't plan on going that long. How many of you have seen this picture before that you remember? Okay, there's a couple of you. This picture is a picture of Satan, the devil, playing chess with a young king, a prince. I would like to put you in this picture also, put me in this picture also, as being the prince. We're going to look at some different things in this picture. I forgot two things when I left home Friday morning. And one of them was my pointer. So I usually have a little laser pointer I can point things to on the picture. But you're just kind of bear with me if you would this morning on that and kind of pick them out. I know the picture is not real big, but maybe you can get the gist of it. And if you could see on this picture, and if you up close, his hand's kind of covering it. But Satan, I have another picture similar to this at home. He's got a smirk on his face. Because he has that young prince in checkmate. Now, I'm not a chess player. But just so the people that don't know, when you're in checkmate, it means that you got one more move, and if you can't get out of it, you're done, you lost, your opponent has victory over you. You're done. If you could see on this picture, you would also see Satan's eyes. And he's looking at the king. He's looking at that prince. He's watching him. He's studying the eyes of the prince. And this young king, he's got his hand on his forehead. He's sweating. He's thinking. Because he thinks he's doomed. There's a couple ways you can take this picture this morning. You know, you could take this picture that it's our everyday life. Satan trying to wear you down. Trying to put you in checkmate. Trying to snare you. He never gives up. He's always there attacked in every move. He's trying his best, brothers and sisters, to take us to hell. That's where he wants you. And if you let him, he will get you. You can't get away from him in this life. You will always have that temptation in this life, as long as you have breath. Then I'd like you to take this picture another way. This young king, this prince, he should never be sitting at the checkerboard with the devil. We should never go there. That is something that is off limits. This king has too much to do. He has people that are watching him. He is influencing people. He should never be at the checkerboard with the devil. And neither should we. There's way too much work to do for the Lord than to be playing with the devil. There's way too much danger playing with the devil. But you know what I think? I think when this young prince went to this chessboard, he loved the thrill of sin. He loved to see just how close he could get before Satan could get him. Curiosity sometimes makes us humans play with sin. And we saw it in our Sunday school lesson this morning with the Israelites. Dabbling with sin. You know, King David did that in the Bible with Bathsheba. It says he looked and lusted. And brethren, I'm telling you, the second look is sin. Yes, you cannot help what you see sometimes, but the second look is sin. Don't you forget it. This king thinks he can outwit Satan. How many of you ever sit down at a checkerboard or at any game with an opponent not thinking you can win? Especially if your life depended on it. You wouldn't go there if you knew you was going to lose, would you? You want victory over your opponent. I believe this young king thinks he can get close to sin, still have that thrill, and have victory. He is taking chances that he should never be taking because he loves that thrill. Satan should never have a turn in our life. We never wait on the devil to take his turn. It shouldn't be there. We shouldn't be at that checkerboard. Went too far. You can't see it on this picture. But down here, under the table, I blew it up. So some of what I wanted took off. Down here on the table is skulls underneath here. Up there in the corner was skulls. I can't help but think of Halloween right now. You're seeing it everywhere. You're seeing skulls everywhere. It is the work of the devil. It ain't where we should go. I remember as a boy, I was about 13 or 14. Daddy wasn't in the church there anymore. Neither one of my parents, none of us. And I was 13 or 14, and I wanted free candy. I went down to the bishop's house, a nationwide bishop, and trick-or-treated that night. I just done it for candy. But my daddy didn't appreciate it. I can tell you that when he found out. Even though he didn't go to church there. But you know, sometimes them little things just come in and we don't see how serious they are. But when you have skulls, there is death in the air. Look at the lion. You can't see it. His paw was on a skull. He had done killed. Look at the lion. His mouth is open. His tongue is out. He wants more blood. You know, we think about a lion when he's ready to attack his prey. He likes to give a roar. He likes to confuse. That is the work of the devil. It is true that Satan sometimes comes as an angel of light. You know, when we see him as a skull, we turn away easy. But when he comes as an angel of light, it's a different story. So many times we fall for it. The devil never gets enough. He wants more blood. If you could see his figures, they're not like real chess figures. They look like demons. Yeah, that scares us. But that's not always how he comes. I don't know if you can see it, but right here on the table, there is a spider. And it's a venomous spider. And it is headed to the king. It is headed to the prince. And the prince don't see it. And when that spider bites, it kills. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants to kill. He wants to kill your soul. But the king is too enthused in his game. Just how much are we enthused in life and we miss what we should be seeing? Notice another thing. Satan has killed right there in his hand. You can see he done killed the queen. That is the queen. And you know, he didn't just kill her and throw her off the checkerboard. He's sitting there toiling with it right in front of the king. And what other does a king love than his queen? And if he knows he can get the queen, he's going to get you. And that is what he's after. He don't care how he kills if he can kill. And that is the closest to the king's heart. Satan doesn't care. He just distracts and discourages. He likes to play with the one he killed. You cannot get away from Satan except by the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Luke 22. I don't have many scripture this morning that you'll be turning to. Luke 22, three verses, starting at verse 30. And right here we're breaking in where the disciples were arguing who was going to be the greatest. This is Jesus' words, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit at my thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I love this next verse. But I have prayed for you. That is Jesus. I have prayed for you. This is words for us today, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus said, Simon, Simon. You know, I don't know about you, the ones that are married to have children. But I know sometimes when I'm getting on one of my children for doing something maybe, I say the first name. And then I might go to the middle name. And then I might say all three names. And when I do, they know to sit up and pay attention. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. Simon, Simon, listen to me. This is serious. The devil wants you. And he will get you. If you don't stay close to me, he will sift you. And you know what, brothers and sisters? I believe in our times today, the entertainment of this world is one of our gods that we studied about this morning. The entertainment. The love of the world and the things of the world. James 4, verse 4 says, whosoever there will be a friend of God, whosoever there will, therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. As long as I don't love it too much. No, that ain't what it says, is it? You can't love it at all. What is a friend? You have friends. You go out and meet friends all the time. You might shake their hand. You might go out and eat with them. But how much are you involved with them? This is saying a friend of the world. If you love the world enough that is a friend to you, you are sitting at the devil's table. And it will take you to hell if you keep on. We must see how serious it really is. That is Satan's way of sifting you. And he'll take every good you got in you and he'll destroy it. He'll use it for himself. He'll put you in checkmate if you let him. Don't go there. Revelation 13:10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. You play with sin, you will get put into captivity. That's what the Bible says. Come with me to Genesis 3. One verse. Satan loves to make you think that there is no way out. Genesis 3, verse 6. And we're talking about Eve here. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. It didn't matter that it looked good. It didn't matter that it tasted good. And it didn't even matter that it made her wise. It was disobedience to God. And brothers and sisters, it's no different for us. The devil even said, did God really say? You choose what's good and what's evil. If there's any question at all, brothers and sisters, we need to be like Joseph and run from it. He said, how can I do this wickedness and sin against my God? That is still the same God we are serving today. David, King David vowed, I will set no evil thing before mine eyes. I think he learned some lessons in his life. I will set no evil things before mine eyes. Sometimes I think we as humans set things before our eyes that affects our hearts. And you know, I believe sometimes that when we are bound to go that way and we let the flesh take us that way, that God will let us put ourselves in some stupid situations that we should not be in. 29 years ago, probably approximately, I was living in North Carolina. I was looking through a bargain trader. And I don't remember what I was looking for, a pickup truck or whatever it was, but I was looking through a bargain trader. And I came across a whole page. And this was, I don't know if somebody paid to put this in there or if the man that actually owned the bargain trader put it in there. But it said up there at the top, a whole page was a poem, and it said, let me get the title right. The devil's one-eyed vision. I was like, what is this? And you know, I read that poem, and I didn't bring it with me, but it was talking about the television. And in that poem, the devil was telling his demons, we can't get people to stop going to church, so let's give them something that'll rob them of their time and influence their children. Now, here a while back, I was talking to a Protestant, and he knew we didn't have television in our home. And he said, Richard, he said, y'all stand against the television, but you got something you carry in your pocket every day that's worse than the television. Jesus said in Matthew 18:9, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than to have two eyes and cast into hell fire. Just how important is this to us? Just how close do we want to dabble with sin? Now, I ain't saying that phones are all bad. It can be a tool. But you know what I'm saying. If it is a piece of tool that is drawing your soul away from God, you need to get rid of it. If you had a man come and you failed because you looked at something and he plucked out your eye, I guarantee you, you wouldn't do that again because it lamed you, it hurt you, and you wouldn't do it again, would you? Ha, I sure hope I wouldn't. One-eyed man. I guarantee you I'd think twice the next time. Just how serious do we take it? If we looked at the text in Genesis, and I'm not going to, but it talked about Lot pitching his tent towards Sodom. You know, it don't just say Lot. It says righteous Lot. Lot was like me and you. He was righteous. Why did he pitch his tent towards Sodom? Because of convenience. He didn't have to haul the cows 50 miles or 20 miles or 10 miles no more. They ran outside the city gate and he brought them in. It was convenience. Just what are we willing to do with our convenience to help a soul that is getting away from God? What is convenience costing us, brothers and sisters? 2 Peter 2:7 said, it vexed his soul with filthy conversation of the wicked. That is us today. We are in that city today. Yes, it's something we can't help. But we can help how involved we get in it. He ended up sitting in the gate with the people. Does the world know you stand out different? Like I said last night, every time they see you, does it remind you that the Lord is coming back for his people? Or are you just one of them and look just like one of them? Or are you separate? And I'm talking about separate. Just doesn't go by you reading your Bible, because we heard this morning in our devotions that if you have a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will look separate. You will talk separate and you will be separate. There will be a separation. And if there's not a separation, brothers and sisters, we better get on our knees before the Almighty God and repent. Because it will bring a separation. Lot was an adult man here. And it says he was a holy man. And it says he was a righteous man. And he couldn't take it in that city. You know, I don't have the verse written here, but it comes to my mind in Matthew. There's a verse that says, if it wasn't for the shortening of days, even the elect would lose out. That's me and you. We would lose out if it weren't for the shortening of days. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we're in them shortening of days today. I believe that. What about the youth? What are you willing to sacrifice to stay out of checkmate? What are you willing to stay out of inconveniences to keep somebody else out of checkmate? Just how much cyanide poison does it take to kill? A couple months ago, I was going down the interstate, and I came up behind a Jeep. And on the back of the window in big letters, it said, sinner. And it had showed blood dropping down underneath of the word sinner. And I said, yes, he knows what the blood of Jesus Christ is. He's a repentant person, more than likely, to post sinner on the back of the window like that. And then when I got a little bit closer, it said over here in the corner, and loving it. And loving it! Can you imagine sin and loving it? Just how close do we get and love it sometimes? It's terrible. devil. We say, no, we would not go there. But brothers, sisters, sometimes we are there. I had a man tell me the other day, and he was a Mennonite man. He said, he was talking about the little sins. I said, brother, there is no little sin. Sin is sin to God, and it will take you to hell. Think about it. You play on that phone in places you shouldn't be, it is sin. And it'll take you where you don't want to be. Don't go there. People want to be saved in their sins instead of from their sins. Jesus will not tolerate a lukewarm Christian. It is non-negotiable. The book of Jude talks about that. And it talks about false teachers. And so many times we like to cry, grace, give grace, just love. And we don't call sin what is sin. And that is modern spirituality. That is emotionalism. It's just what in the heart we says that matters sometimes. That's Calvinism. And it comes from the pit of hell. Love will call sin, sin. It doesn't matter if it's a brother or a sister. Love will call sin, sin, because you don't want that person going to hell. Yes, it might not be the easiest thing to say sometimes to that brother or sister. Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:5, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Looking righteous, but denying the power, not obeying the commandments, that's taking the scripture and making it say what you want it to say. And you're on the way to deception. I was reading the other day in a magazine, and it was talking about blaming others for your failures. And they had this quote, if you want to feel better, blame yourself. If you want to feel better, excuse me, blame others. If you want to do better, blame yourself. I'm not going to turn to it in Matthew 25. You know the story well about the 10 virgins. And it's interesting to me that there's 10 virgins here, and they all look the same. They all dress the same. They all acted the same. They even all had the same works. And they all thought they were going to heaven. And the door was shut, and five of them virgins went to hell. Do you see how serious that is? When the door is shut, your time is done. It is over. Five were deceived, it says. Are you playing chess with the devil this morning? Are you enjoying the thrill of this world? Let's go back to the picture. What does the young prince still have? Is there any hope for this young prince? What do you have still? Is there any hope for you if there's sin in your life? There's one thing this prince has, and there's one thing that you have, and that is life. You still have life. You still have a chance to make it right with God. There was a master chess player. You know, I got this picture from Cross Seas. I can't remember where it was. The painter that painted it, it was back in early 1800s. I don't know if the painter knew this or not, but there was a master chess player. He sat down with his picture, and he studied this picture for hours, they said. And all of a sudden, he was amazed. It hit him that the king and the prince only had one move on that checkered board, and he could beat the devil. Isn't that amazing? One move, get sin out of your life, and you can have eternal life. You know this young prince. You see the angel. You see the angel's eyes looking down at this chessboard. I don't know where that move is. I wish they would have sent it to me. But his eyes are standing there looking down on that board because he cares. Because he is interested in this young prince's soul. And he's hoping this young prince will make that move. The king just hasn't seen it yet. And I literally believe this prince, the way he looks stressed, that he wishes he'd have never went to that chessboard with the devil. The angel is close, but the king can't see the angel. But he's there. And God is here. And he wants to be close to you. But it's only with God's help that you can win this morning. God will not leave us or forsake us. That is a promise, unless we turn away from him. You know, I didn't know if I'd share this or not, but I'm going to. Because if there's any young people here that are struggling, I became very unthankful for my parents when I was young. Yes, we had quit going to the Nationwide Church and we were driving 2 hours to a Virginia Conference church. And it made us children bitter. And I was a very bitter boy. My daddy lived a life. He wore the suit coat. But his everyday life didn't line up to it. Even in his speech, most times he could control it pretty good. But he went places he shouldn't have went. And we as children knew it. On my 16th birthday, I went downstairs. I was born at 10 o'clock at night. And I knew at 10 o'clock at night, I was a free man. At age 16 in North Carolina, I could be a free man. I ate some cake. When I went back upstairs, I had a garbage bag packed full of clothes, and there was a hole in that garbage bag about this big. My mother had went up there and found that garbage bag. She knew what I had in my mind, and she was right. When that clock struck 10 o'clock, I threw it out the window, and I jumped out the window behind it, and I ran away from home. I was a very unthankful man, a boy, a young boy, that needed some guidance really bad. I went and lived with my brother. Not a good place to be. But I hated. I had a hatred in my heart. I had a bitterness in my heart. I had it for my parents. I had it for the church. I had it for everybody. But I thought I was a free man. Because I was on my own. I had nobody to tell me what I could and couldn't do anymore. I thought. Don't go there. That ain't freedom. That's the bondage of hell. I'm thankful the Lord got a hold of me. I struggle with authority. I'm thankful the Lord got a hold of me. God didn't give up on me. But if the Lord tarries tonight, I'm going to share a story with you about when I changed my life. I didn't know what I was going to preach on last night for tonight. Thank y'all for praying. Because 3 o'clock this morning, the Lord laid it on my heart. And I'm going to share it with you. God does not give up on us unless we become deceived and we went our own way. Saul, when he was on the way to the road to Damascus, he said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" Is that your desire this morning? I don't care what the cost is. If it's taking that phone and throwing it out the window, do it. Because you ain't got but one chance, brothers and sisters. And when it's done, it's done. A full surrender is the Christian way. And it's a surrender to the church. It's a surrender to the church leaders. And it's a surrender to your brothers. Because what else do you have the church for? But your brothers and sisters to keep you on the straight and narrow way. Because I'm telling you, I cannot do it myself. I need.
need, my brothers and sisters. And I need to sit up and listen. And if there's something in my life, I need to listen to it. It's serious. Full obedience. So many times we just like to be spoon-fed. And we like to take the easy road. We don't like to dig in. But you know, we talked about counterfeit this morning. We must know God's word. It's what we have. And we must know it. Do you get up in the morning? Do you take the time for your devotions? Or do you like to just spruce over it right quick? In 10 minutes you're done. I'll tell you something to think about. And you probably know Brother Sim over there in Georgia. Good friend of mine. But he's told me something that I ain't never forgot. He would call me once in a while and he'd say, Richard, he said, what did you read your devotions this morning? He said, what did you pick out in your devotions? He said, every morning, pick something out of your devotions to take with you that morning. Do it. I'm telling you, in times of temptation, if you have that on your mind, it will help you. I promise you, it is the Holy Spirit, and it will work with you in times of temptations. Take a hold of the grace of God, and He'll give you the power to keep you from going where you shouldn't go. He will keep you from being deceived. Never take the road of ungratefulness. That is the road of deception. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hand, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is a promise. We got a Savior that's alive. We got a Savior that wants to live in your heart. And this is a promise. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. He will cleanse your heart. He will make you a new man. He will give you rivers of living water. And the truth will set you free. Never say, I'm good enough. You will come complacent. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Paul says you must live a life of holiness just like we had this morning. You must give all. Give yourself. Lay it to the Lord. Ephesians 4, verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. He knew that temptation is going to be there as long as you have life. But never give place to the devil. That spider will bite. And it will kill. James 1:13 says, let no man say he is tempted of God. You know, we are drawn away with our own lust. You give the devil an inch, and he's going to take a mile. Count on it. You want to be like the world and win the world. Brothers and sisters, it will never work. It will never work. He says, be separate. You can't draw the world to be like the world. Just what have you got to offer if you are? Stand out and be different. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Lamentations 3:27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke of his youth. You know, young people, you're full of energy. You love a thrill. I know you do. I love a thrill. That's probably why I like deer hunting. I like the adrenaline rush. I like the thrill. I know what it's like. I was young too. But this verse is saying that energy is good, but you got to put it in a yoke. You need to control that energy for God. And you won't get it done by just sitting on the couch and being a couch potato. That's laziness. A yoke controls what you do with it. Let it be channels for God. Use that energy for them channels. Ecclesiastes 11 says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." God gives you a choice. He gives all of us a choice whether we want to walk after the flesh of desires or whether we want to walk after Him and submit to Him. But God said, "I will bring you into judgment." That is a guarantee that we will come into judgment. You might not see it for 60 years, but you know, you might see it tonight. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Hebrews 10:38 says, "If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." God, if God calls you tonight, where will you be? And it only takes one move this morning, and you can win just like the king. And it says that the angels in heaven will rejoice. Repentance. Are you living in victory this morning? Are you struggling and need help this morning? Don't put it off. Don't play with the devil, because he will put you in checkmate. God has the power this morning to help you overcome that. Are you willing to let him? You know, God gives us a table to sit at if you want it. Luke 22 says that you may eat and drink at my table, at my kingdom, he says. Psalmist said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, brothers and sisters." God's table is better than any table you ever get at the devil's. 1 Corinthians 10, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils." You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of the devils. What table are you at this morning? Are you playing with sin and loving it? Or do you hate sin? Do you abhor sin? And God never said that it was going to be easy. Because brothers and sisters, if it's easy in this life, you are probably on the wrong path. Don't go to the devil's table. Let's kneel for prayer.